Be seated tonight. Real quick, I want to go to Luke chapter 6, verses 38. We're going to get into that again. I'm not going to be too long, so lock in with me here, and we're going to just dissect some of this stuff here. But Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Who's reading tonight? Pastor Tim, you ready? All righty. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to start in actually verse 38. Let's read.
Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour out into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return.
I want to pick one particular point. Let's go back up to that passage there. Look at here again. It says, give, and what? It will be given to you. And this is the part that I want to focus on. Look at here. They will pour out. I can't see that from all the way in the back. Read it for me, Pastor Tim.
They will pour out into your lap a good measure.
Right here. Everybody say this, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I want to talk about this, shaken together. Tonight, I want to talk about a season of shaking. And I want to make sense of why some of our world right now is being shaken. Why it seems like the closer you want to get to God, the more crazy things get in your world. And this is something that we need to understand is a spiritual process. A lot of times when things get hectic, we automatically start rebuking the devil. I'm telling you, I believe one day when we meet the old Lucifer of Lucifers, he's going to say, man, I'm a bad dude, but some of the stuff, I didn't do everything you guys blame me of doing. Because the truth is, we like to just blame everything on the devil. And a lot of the things that we are facing is the will of God concerning our life. He's trying to get us to a place of maturity. And shaking is one of the ways that it happens. When God is looking to invade your world, as a matter of fact, I don't have time to go here and have you turn and all that stuff, but I'll just go there real quick. When we look at the flood scenario, we see Noah and we see everything that happened with the flood. Most people think that God flooded the earth by the rain that came from above. That's not what the scriptures say. It says that the fountains of the deep were broke open. The majority of the flooding came from the inside, not the outside. I need you to get that. It came from the depths of the inside, not the outside. It's never what's outside of you that can hurt you. It's never what is external that is really going to do damage. It's what's internal. You have to live with your internal reality. And it's very, very difficult for some of us because I don't know about you, but if, raise your hand if you know you can be a mess. Come on, somebody. And so it's one of these things to where you got to live with that internal dysfunction, those internal faulty perceptions that you have of yourself. And what we try to do is we medicate it. Everybody has a different way of medicating what it is that they're dealing with every day in their life. And so God is trying to get us to a place to where he is trying to bring a clarity as it relates to his intentions for your life. And it's not as easy as just saying, hey, Tila, I'm God. Do this and you're going to be blessed. He knows we're hard-headed. We don't listen to what he says. Most of us don't start listening until we have no other option but God. And so what God often does to get us into his will is he starts funneling us into this one option. God uses no way more than he uses yes. He says no way more than he says yes. I've taught you this in this house. No is a complete sentence. He'll stop things from happening that you wanted to happen in your life based off your own reasonings. Whatever it is that you needed to happen, he'll stop those things because he's trying to wake you up. Why? Because God is interested in, he's interested in your internal makeup. God wants you to be at a place of peace. Peace is not always something that comes just because everything's going right. Real peace you can have in the middle of hell. And so I want to get into this tonight. So let's say this again. Press down, shaken together. So I want to go here real quick. We're going to go here to Genesis 1, and we're going to read 1 through 3. Let's swing over there real quick. Everybody knows this passage. Let's read.
God created the heaven. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep.
See, that teaches right there. God created the heavens and the earth, and the next part says it's formless. You can't always assume because you are not with form that God is not doing something in you. You cannot always assume just because you can't see it that it is not created. God creates, and then it was formless. See, it takes time. I've talked to you a long time ago that the beauty of God is that when he is silent, some people, how many have been through those seasons? It's like, God, where you at? You know, I told you what happens. God spoke all throughout the book of Genesis. He said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be this. He spoke everything to existence till he gets to man and he goes quiet. He starts forming. When God usually is quiet, it's because he's forming. Those are seasons to where God is forming you. Amen, somebody. And so this passage here in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving, one version there will say, hovering over the surface of the waters. This is what I love about the Hebrew. When you're reading scripture, it's so important to go back and to look at the Hebrew on stuff if it's Old Testament and the Greek and the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, that word there for moving or hovering actually means shaken. So there is something very, very important, because when God is creating a thing in your world, well, what is he creating? He's trying to give some of us a new heart. Your old heart's been beat up too much. You know, I love that God doesn't always try to repair things. Sometimes he just removes a thing and gives you a new one. We still trying to fix old Adam. God said, I'll just give you new Christ. And this is fun. Adam don't need counseling. Adam, his only requirement was death. Christ, the last Adam, is where we get new creation from. And so this is imperative that we get this. In this passage, this word here means shaken. So when God is doing something in your world, I'm telling you, don't think it's strange if everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Everything. I don't know anybody been in a season to where it's like, man, good night. It's not even Monday yet and things are going crazy. And they never come one by one. It's always like you're getting to that season and everything goes crazy. And it's like, at this point, it's like, man, what is really happening? And I had to realize that God absolutely allows us to go through seasons of chaos because he's trying to get us something that we would not get in a season that is not challenging. Amen, somebody. So this is very, very important. So I want to go over here to Acts 4:31 here as well. You know, the other term in the Hebrew for the word shaken, parah, there, literally means to move. Doesn't mean just to shake. It's to move. So when you are going through seasons to where everything is being shook, it's because God's trying to get you to move. Now, that doesn't always mean in the physical. The biggest moves you ever transition in is going to be here. Internally first. You can transition without ever taking a step. And so it is so imperative to understand, because this is what I really want to get to you tonight. You and I, because I don't know about you, but I know I'm in that season. I know right now that this is the hand of the Father. This is not the enemy. This is the hand of the Father. He even talks about in that last days that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. You don't know what's really built right until it shook. Come on, somebody. Now, if you was to come, Shawnee came over at our old house. She bought this. My wife is the Amazon. Every day there's boxes. Sometimes you can't even get in the door because she knows every single delivery driver. We could be three blocks away and they're waving at us. they know that woman, because there's boxes coming in all the time. And she had bought this coat rack. Now, anybody that knows Pastor Gail, I don't put stuff together. Come on, Eric, you bent over to the house. Come on. If you, some of you, I done called you. Tank, you came over one time, didn't you? Come on. That's right. Giving double honor. He came over to the house. They'll put stuff together. Sean's like, baby, just put it together. No, Eric, he get off work at 5. I know schedules. When you start asking me to put stuff together, I'm like, okay, what time did Marcus get off? What you doing? God said, man, come on over and fellowship. Bring your screwdriver too. And this is what is amazing. So she gets this coat rack, y'all. So I said, I'm gonna make myself put this boy together. She come downstairs, y'all. I done put it together upside down. It's not that I can't put stuff together. Am I telling the truth? It's not that I can't put stuff together. It's that I don't like reading the directions. That's the killer for me. Come on now. Them directions don't make no sense. And then they give you this tiny little thing that you're supposed to screw all these little things in. And then every bolt has a letter on it. I'm like, man, this is too much. Can't we just duct tape this mug? Well, I thought I had that thing together. Shawnee came up and said, baby, it's upside down. That was the first thing wrong. I was like, it still worked, though. Look, put a coat on it. I did like this, y'all. The whole top fell off. Nothing like a good shaking shows your lack of understanding. The whole thing, it just collapsed. Because shaking reveals every flaw, everything that is not in the right place. When you shake something that is put together right, this podium, I can shake this podium and it doesn't break because whoever, I didn't put this together for sure. Eric put this together. It can endure shaking because everything is put in its proper place. And this is so imperative to understand this, because when you are going through a season of shaking and stuff starts going crazy, it's because you may not have been built the right way. You may have stuff going on in your world that it may be there, but it's not securely there.
Come on, Pastor.
It's not securely there. Some of you are only doing as good as your environments. And when you get into a challenging environment, it exposes everything about you. Shaking is a necessary thing. God doesn't shake you to get you to hold your head down like, man, look, you really are a mess. No, no, he's shaking you to show you where you need to grow at. Where you need to grow at. One of the worst things that people do is pick their own pastors. If you pick your leader, he'll be just like you and you're never going to grow. You absolutely need people that absolutely are not thinking nothing like you to challenge you. You have to have a model that you can stare at to say, oh, that's what renewed thinking looks like. You'll never become a thing that you don't behold. This okay? So look, let's go to Acts here real quick. Let's read, Pastor Tim. I'm ready.
And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common.
Okay, let's go back up to verse 31. Read that one more time for me.
And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken.
Now, isn't this something? That here they was in unity and in prayer, and what happened as a result? Shaken. The result was shaken. It's not the enemy. This is the byproduct of tapping into something real. I'm trying to encourage you tonight because I want you to know you may feel like everything, you're going down the wrong road because everything's going haywire. I'm telling you, you're on the right road. That is the proof that you need, that you are going in the place that God has told you to go, because he's trying to shake you. Shaking is the aftermath of praying and following the Spirit. This book's saying, this is what Acts is saying. Come on, somebody. Look at Paul and Silas in the jail cell. Start singing songs. They start testifying. And what happened? Earthquake. Shaking. And what did it do? It freed everybody around them. See, when God starts shaking you, I'm telling you, it gets contagious with things around you. God is trying to get you to see. Listen, you're on the right road, man. Just keep following the Spirit. You're not doing everything right. Nobody does it all the time. But I'm telling you, a good sign that you are following the heart of God is God starts shaking you up. He starts shaking you up. How would you ever be able to build faith if you never had a season to where you had to tap into faith in order to get through it? Come on, somebody. How would you ever be able to build your faith if you was never in a season that did not require faith to get through? How do you build strength if you're never in a season that exposes your weaknesses? You got to endure the shaking. Can you say amen? Real quick, just go to Jeremiah 29:11 here real quick. All of us know this passage. Jeremiah 29:11. How many remember this?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 29:11. Look here. Look at what God's saying here.
Well, the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare. And not for calamity.
And this is something, when I wasn't even going to teach this tonight, and I stepped into church and I heard the Holy Spirit say, bring this up. But Micah, when I read this earlier, I felt like God was wanting to say this specific thing to you. And I said, man, I'll tell after church, but I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to act like none of them are here. How you doing, by the way? Everything good? Good. I'm back. But I wanted you to hear this. God says, for I know the plans that I have for you. And then what does he say?
Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope.
Now, we get all excited about that. Oh, God's got good things for me. But why is God saying this in context?
Come on.
Go back to the beginning of the book.
Come on.
Look at what he's saying to Jeremiah. Go over to Jeremiah 1 real quick, verse 16 or 14. I'm going to tell you why he's saying this, because now it makes sense why he's saying it. Look, he's talking to us, to the people of Israel here. Now look what happened here. Go ahead and read, Pastor Tim. This is God speaking through Jeremiah. Let's go there. You got it? Jeremiah 1. Yep. And then go down to verse 14. We're going to keep reading through, so he needs the whole verse. Microphone?
Yeah. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north the evil will break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord. And they will come and they will sit, each one his throne, at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem and against all its walls round about and against all the cities of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods.
Okay, let me sum it up here real quick. What is the word saying? It's a word to God's people. He's saying there is another army coming in. We know that army to be Babylon by history. That's coming in, King Nebuchadnezzar. They're coming in. We know what's happening in this passage. They literally take Israel, the Hebrew people, back into captivity again. It's God's judgment. They're literally having to go back into captivity. The same people that God delivered from Egypt. Going back in because they keep forsaking the ways of God. The will of God is going to cost you something. If you think the grace message means we could just do whatever, you've missed it. That ain't grace. I understand that the goodness of God is something that we want to magnify, but never ever separate trials that are necessary from him being good.
Yes, sir.
Y'all catch that? Never ever make the mistake of thinking just because this season is costing you some things and it hurts for you to walk through it, that it's still not goodness in operation. I love this passage because it says that the judgment is coming upon these people. Well, then why did God say in chapter 29, I know the plans I have. It's good to prosper. He has to remind them because at that point, they're already in captivity again. That's why he's saying it. He's trying to get them to see that there is a purpose in what's happening. I know it don't look good right now, but I've got a plan. I'm trying to get you back on track, and it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. I'm actually going to let your enemies come in this season and do what they need to do. I'm giving them permission to do it. Why? Because it's the only thing that would have woken them up. Some of us have been asleep so long on our purpose. And God has to wake you up with a harsh reality. And it's not the devil, it's God. And when you get mad, just go back to Jeremiah. I know the plans he has. Can I just say it like I feel? Man, that sucks. Man, don't tell me that while everything's going crazy. I don't want to hear that. That ain't encouraging to me while I'm being beat up. But that is how the context lays it out. He allowed the enemies to come in, do everything that they did. And he said, I just want to remind you, you're in this mess because I got a plan. I have a purpose. I know the plans that I have for you. Notice he said, I know, because they certainly didn't. What am I saying? I want you to be encouraged tonight. Shaken is the right of the Father. To be shaken is the right of the Father. Can you say amen? When you're going through seasons that just seem to be going haywire, I'm telling you, turn your heart to the Father and watch what he does. This is not the devil working. This is Jesus trying to get into your thinking something that is necessary for you to do whatever he's called you to do. Repentance is not, we got this thing, this idea in church that repentance is coming to an altar and begging for forgiveness. That's not what the scripture says. Repentance, Greek word metanoia, means to change the way you think. The Christian life is a permanent posture of repentance. I said it last week talking about the Holy Spirit. A good sign that we don't know the Holy Spirit is that we are not used to, if you're not used to correction, you don't know the Holy Spirit because he keeps that coming. He keeps that coming. When you are in relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's constant correction all the time. Anybody just been checked real good by the Holy Spirit? Real good. And it becomes a permanent changing of our thinking. And if God is going to get to you what he's trying to get to you, you're going to have to endure the seasons that we're calling chaotic, but God's calling order. God's calling it order. It is so imperative to let him set order in your world. Everybody wants the peace. Everybody wants the feeling of fulfillment. Everybody wants to look at their life and feel the joy of having fulfilled the thing that God has put on their life. But most people never get it because they're not willing to go through the necessary shakings. And I'm saying do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Endure this season. It is the goodness of God drawing you. And I want you to be encouraged tonight. I want you to be encouraged tonight. You know, I've learned that when we trust the Father fully, it's a whole lot easier to go through seasons of shaking. What makes it difficult is our trust issues. Because when you're not fully convinced that God is for you, then you'll start interpreting a season of shaking as a judgment. as it, yeah, and this word is an emergency. I'll make it work, y'all. So it is so important. So I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. Endure the seasons. Endure the seasons. Endure the seasons. It is a God thing. Can you say amen? Amen. You can stand to your feet tonight. Father, I thank you for your presence.